Well, hi and welcome and congrats on investing in the training on how to be a better known, liked, and trusted sales pro in order to connect at the highest level and, of course, sell more. What you're about to see is a webinar that I originally delivered for my Smart Calling Inner Circle coaching and training members. And you're getting the exact same session that members have already been benefiting from. So I encourage you, have a pen and paper in hand, if you're not driving, of course, and start and stop the recording in order to take notes, as I've got lots of word-for-word messaging ideas that you can adapt and use. Or, of course, you can take a screenshot of the slides that you want to say. Now, I'm confident you're going to put these ideas and strategies into practice, right? And you're going to be that sales pro that everyone admires. So let's get started. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this month's live Smart Calling training. I'm Art Subcheck, and we have got a great program scheduled for you here today. And as I mentioned in my email, this is something that I have just put together. Literally within the past week or so, it's something I've been thinking about for probably a few months and have been collecting notes and sticky notes and Evernotes and putting things, bookmarks all over the place. I've had this idea. And finally, I thought, you know what? I'm going to actually do something with it. And that's when I decided I was going to take my ideas, put them together in a cohesive format, which I hope it will be, and deliver it for you here today in the training. So I set myself a hard deadline, which of course was today, to be able to put this all together. And a little bit about today's training. This is a work in progress. This is actually my first draft of this. It's going to evolve over time. And assuming that it is well received and people feel that it's going to be important and useful, I'm likely going to turn it into something bigger, likely a book. And I think something that could be huge to really serve salespeople out there, because it is so important. So what the heck am I talking about? Well, we're talking about how to connect at the highest level so that we can sell and service more. And really, selling is a high form of servicing in and of itself, because really we're helping people buy, right? So, oh boy, there we go. I always have this problem with PowerPoint because it's very touchy. And if you just barely move the mouse, it advances the screen. So let me talk about what is the genesis for all of this and what we're going to be talking about here today. So how about this statement? With social media, we're more connected than ever before, right? Would you agree with that? Well, actually, in reality, with social media, we're less connected at that human emotional level than we've probably ever been, simply because people are more connected to our devices than anything else. And I actually find it kind of comical, but also sad at the same time, when if you go somewhere like a restaurant and you see a family sitting at a restaurant, look at how many of them are actually just on their phones as opposed to enjoying the people that they're with. Reminds me of a Seinfeld routine. I actually saw Jerry Seinfeld doing his stand-up routine. This was probably about, 10, 15 years ago, maybe. And he pulls out his cell phone and he goes, "And what's up with this? When, you know, somebody is at a meeting or something, or let's say at a coffee shop, and they put their phone on the table, and it's kind of like, just in case I get a better deal," right? So we're actually less connected at a human emotional level. And what's the relevance for us here as salespeople? Well, as salespeople, we are competing with the thousands of messages that people are being bombarded with every single day. I've spoken about this many times, and we have to stand out from the crowd. And of course, I've spent most of my career talking about how to do this through our messaging. And today, we're going to talk about how to do this at even a higher level, helping us to connect at this human level so that we can, again, set ourselves apart, but we can also deal with this. And Maya Angelou said it very succinctly, and that is, people are going to forget what you said, You'll forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And that is so important today. And we are going to be focusing on how to make people feel important, feel good, feel validated, feel like you have taken an interest in them. And we're going to do that in several, or actually a few different ways. So again, let me expound on this a little bit, expand on it a little bit further. So my buddy Bob Berg has, and I didn't even realize Bob was the one that originated this comment, because it has been, I guess, gone viral for so long. And Bob said, the golden rule of sales is, all things being equal, people will do business with and refer business to those people they know, they like, and they trust. And again, I was surprised and actually happy to see that Bob had come up with that quote. And I'm going to be speaking with him about it, and as I go further with this topic. And as I dug further into this, there are several other variations of this. The great Zig Ziglar said, if people like you, they're going to listen to you, but if they trust you, they're going to do business with you. So that's a variation of the know, like, and trust, but still it emphasizes the importance of the trust, emphasizes the importance of the liking factor. And of course, since I'm drawing on experts out there and quoting experts, we've got Homer Simpson, and that's how he feel when someone likes him. No training would be complete without having some Greek philosophers here. So Aristotle, maybe you remember this from school, or maybe you didn't pay attention like I didn't. Aristotle came up with the three pillars of persuasion way back when, which are ethos, pathos, and logos. And your eyes are probably glazing over right now. So what does all this mean? Well, let me put it in normal conversational terms that we can use. Ethos in persuasion means, before we can convince somebody to accept anything that we're saying to them, they have to accept us, okay? They have to accept us as a person, which goes back to the trust, right? And also a little bit of the knowing and the liking as well. So you can see how this all ties together. So it is based in philosophy and psychology. The pathos part, appealing to emotions. Again, the feeling part. People are more receptive to being persuaded by someone with whom they can identify. And we're going to talk specifically about how to do that, how people can identify with us. And many of these things you're probably doing every day. And by the way, a lot of what we're going to cover today is going to be, as I mentioned in the email, it's going to be painfully obvious and common sense. But like a lot of things that are obvious and common sense, we're not using them all the time, or perhaps we're not thinking about them, we're not focusing on them, and we should be. Then we have the logos, using logic. That's where it comes from. Again, facts, stories, and information. The key point here is the facts, stories, and information that matter to the other person, not just facts and information, because again, that on its own is boring. Again, the key here is things that matter, what is important to the other person, and then presenting them in a way that makes sense to them, not just, again, throwing data out there. Okay, so why are we doing this? Well, if we combine all those things that I just talked about here, and they all kind of intertwine, and they're going to make more sense as I get into the material, we're going to be able to massively affect our sales results. Because again, we're appealing to people at a level that they're not really used to, and one that really psychologically causes people to, again, like us, to know us, to trust us, to want to do business with us. So there's things that are going on beneath the water level that we're affecting. And in many cases, they may not even realize it, but they're things that most people don't do, or they don't do it with the intensity that I'm going to suggest that we do it with moving forward here. Now, the caveat here, the big but, is this does require a mindset shift, something that many people, probably most people, will never be able to do. Well, let's just say many people. And that is having this selfless and genuine and intense interest in other people. There's some rocket science there for you. But the fact is, most people do not have this because it's just human nature that most people care about who? Themselves, right? Most people care about themselves. Most people want to talk about themselves. And we are actually going to be appealing to that emotion, taking that interest in them, getting them to talk about themselves, what they feel is important, validating their self-perception. And I mean, you experience this every day, just like I do. Think about the people that maybe you engage with socially, and all they want to talk about is themselves. It's all about them. So one of my hobbies, one of my passions is golfing. And there are, and for those of you at golf, you know this guy or this woman, the one who wants to describe their entire round, shot by shot by excruciating shot, what they were thinking on those shots, what happened. Worse yet, if you have to ride with those people, because every time they get in the cart, they're going to give you the blow by blow. They want to talk about themselves. Now, of course, are those people likable to us? Well, not necessarily. Matter of fact, we probably go out of our way to avoid them. Why? Because we don't care about what they want to talk about. Now, again, when we are the listener, when we are the salespeople, when we want to be likable, we do want to take that interest, though, in that other person. So we want to do it genuinely, okay? And now, of course, we're going to do that because we do have some self-interest here, and that self-interest being we want to help them, not just to sell them, but to help them, because that's what professional sales really is. So again, in order to do the things that we're going to be talking about here, you have to have that mindset. And it has to be who you are. It has to be a habit. Again, it has to be part of your identity, being someone who is interested in other people, not just yourself. And it does take some work, because maybe if you are the person who likes to talk about yourself all the time, this can be an eye opener. It may require a total transformation. And again, I would bet that there are a lot of people out there, hopefully they're not on our training here today or watching the recording, but there are a lot of people that would look at this and go, yeah, I'm not sure I can do that. Or they may not even be aware that they're the person who talks about themselves all the time. So they don't have that self-awareness. And it does require work. And actually, what's interesting here, I'm going to share quite a bit about myself and my own experiences, not to talk about me, but to share the points and make the points here with you. I have really been focusing on this even more over the past week. And I've always thought that I'm somebody who takes interest in other people and asks questions. But there have been some times, even over the past couple of days, where somebody would say something and I might comment on it, but then I would shift the conversation to myself. Like yesterday, I was golfing yesterday afternoon, knocked off a little bit early, went out and played with the boys at the club. And on the first tee box, one of the guys in the group is actually a buddy of mine. He commented on my shoes and his shoes. And he said, are those the same shoes that, those are the same shoes that we got at the event? And this was an event we had both played in. They had given us a certain brand of golf shoe. And as a matter of fact, we liked them. It's called True Links Wear. And then he said, yeah, they're so comfortable. And he was, instead of me asking him more about what he experiences, I said, oh yeah, I've got four pair in every color. And then I caught myself at that moment thinking, wait a minute, what did I just do there? Okay, I turned the conversation around to myself instead of being interested in him. So again, this will take some reflection. This has to be there. And if you took nothing else actually out of this entire program, I would suggest you just be more aware of this. And that is taking complete interest in the other person that you're talking to, actually in all areas of life. And I'm going to share more about this. And then again, some of my experiences and revelations as we go through this. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with this book at all. And the title is certainly grabbing. And if you are not familiar with it, of course, the title is Be a Dick. And what that means is the author is talking about his neighbor, whose name is Dick, and who is just an amazing person who actually exemplifies everything that we're talking about here. And that is taking interest in other people, being kind, and again, genuinely being a great person, a very likable person, which makes him attractive to others, makes him be someone that others want to be around and look up to. Very short book. I actually just finished it a couple days ago. And again, it was good timing because it really exemplifies everything that we're talking about here. So let's get into the details and what we're going to be working on here today. So really, it's going to be two things. One is talking about the knowing, the liking, and the trusting. And actually, how do we do that? Everybody says, right, and you know, Bob said that people do business with those they know, like, and trust, but I don't think I've ever seen anywhere somebody actually putting it into a strategy and tactics that we can use all in one place, right? Because all those things are out there if you look for them, but we're putting it all in one place. And then the second part of this will kind of be intertwined with that, but it'll be a little bit separate. But it's going to be talking about, how do we appeal to someone's self-perception, their identity, who they are? Because people are going to act consistently with how they perceive themselves and their values. And when we weave that into every part of our sales process, now, again, we're appealing to them at a much higher level. So let's talk about likability. Likability. This, there's the guy, the quote that it's from. John Kimmel wrote in The Science of People. He says, likability is the greatest predictor of popularity and social acceptance in a group for adults, more important than wealth, status, or physical attractiveness. And think about this for a second. Think about some of the people that you consider most likable. What are some characteristics that they have? Well, the thing is that this is something that we can and should work on to be more likable. It's not just something that we are, unless, I mean, you're doing all these things naturally anyway. And if you are, that's fantastic. If you're not, there are a lot of things that we can do to be more likable in the minds of other people. And again, why is this important? Because if we're likable to our prospects and customers from the get-go, from the very first point of contact, then of course it's going to make everything else much easier. So a UCLA study, and if you're with us live, UCLA of course made the Final Four in basketball. If you're watching the recording, well, the Final Four is probably over and they probably already named the champion, which would probably be Gonzaga. But anyway, neither here nor there. In this UCLA study, participants were asked to rate 500 adjectives based on their significance to likability. And going back to John's quote on the previous slide, really didn't have a whole lot to do with if somebody was, you know, that extrovert, you know, the life of the party, or if someone was the smartest person in the room, or someone was the most attractive. And you got to admit, stereotypically, those are the things that people normally associate with likability. But what was it? People who are sincere, people who are transparent, people who are understanding, which really means, again, what? Taking an interest in the other person. Again, not rocket science. So how do we employ that? Well, of course, in my research for everything that I do, I go out and look for other sources, people who have written books on the subject. And of course, I found this online. And as luck would have it, I also had the book on my bookshelf and hadn't read it yet, because that I have thousands of books here. And I would say maybe 10% of them I haven't read yet, because I am a compulsive book buyer. I did go through and pulled out some of the main points. And of course, I'm going to be diving into the rest of it. And in Tim's 4 points here, I'm going to be giving you some specifics, things that we can do to implement his principles of likability. So, of course, friendliness, it's our ability to communicate liking someone else and being open to others. And it's always been said that we're going to get what we give, right? Life is really a reflection of us. So in order to be likable, we need to be liking others. Relevance, it's our ability, capacity to connect with, again, others' interests, wants, and needs. This is absolutely huge. Again, we're going to talk about specific tactics on how to do this. Empathy, recognizing, acknowledging, experiencing other people's feelings. Where are they coming from? Taking off our own shoes so that we can walk in somebody else's shoes. And being real, okay? So integrity, standing behind the likability guarantees its authenticity. And again, in everything that I'm talking about here, none of this will suggest that you should be phony by any means, because if you can't pull this off and be sincere doing it, I would suggest that we don't even try, because that certainly is not what we stand for in professional selling, or it's not what I stand for in everything that I teach. So what can we do here? Well, again, this goes back to changing our mindset. And one is, set your default position, your outlook, to liking others. You probably know people who just have this negative attitude. They're skeptical of everyone. They are always looking for the negative in someone else. They want to gossip about somebody else. They don't give the benefit of the doubt to anyone. So how about instead, just assuming that everybody you come in contact with, that you're probably going to like them. And that's going to be a very foreign concept for a lot of people. For many of you, hopefully, you're already there. And I would say that I was probably about 60-40 on this prior to even starting diving into this material and searching on all this material. And now what I'm doing is everybody I come in contact with, wherever it is, whether it be on the phone, in person, social situation, business situation, I'm just going in thinking that, hey, I like this person, prove me wrong. And it's amazing to me how much that has changed my outlook, my positivity, and my interaction with other folks. Because now, I mean, maybe it's karma, I'm also seeing people reacting favorably back towards me. And I think you'll experience the same thing. So again, genuinely like other people. And again, a lot of this stuff is Captain Obvious, right? But develop a friendly mindset and behavior in everything that you're doing. So again, more rocket science here for you. Probably every single training program that I've ever delivered, when I do a full day or two training program, we talk about listening. And everybody knows that we're supposed to listen, right? You should be listening 80% of the time, talking 20% of the time. Well, I'm going to suggest that you ramp up your listening skills to a level that you have never, ever experienced before. I'm going to suggest that you listen to everyone that you come in contact with like your life depended on everything, understanding everything they said, and you're going to be tested on it. And this is a physical as well as an emotional and a mental activity. I suggest that you listen to understand, not to just wait your turn. Now, Many people don't even wait their turn because they interrupt, which is one of the rudest things that we can do to anybody. And certainly if we're doing it on the phone or in person on a sales call or a sales situation, not only is it rude, but it is depriving you of possible information that you're going to need in order to help them buy. So again, listen with the intent of why is this person saying what they're saying? And when we listen at that level, now we're just not simply reacting. We are into a conversation. There are things that are going on now in our mind where it's causing us to, again, lean in to what they said so that, again, we can understand it. We're taking an interest in it, and it's going to allow us to go a little bit deeper. Now, of course, this is doing several things. One is it's endearing us to the other person because, I mean, so many studies have shown that when somebody is listening to what we're saying, we immediately perceive them as more likable and smarter in many cases as well. So when we're listening, when we're leaning in, let's question what they said, because what's this going to do? It's going to cause them to talk even more about what they just said, giving us better information, but it's also going to give us the why behind what they said. And again, it is going to endear us a little more towards them. And speaking of my experience with this, I actually did this morning. Now, I go and I work out at a gym, and I've been going to the same gym for the entire time I've had my house here in Scottsdale full time, probably over 10 years. And I would say probably for the last 5 years, the same two women have been working the front desk. And they're delightful women, and I've had some conversations with them. But for the most part, here's how it goes every morning. I'll walk in, and you're contactless, so I'll show my phone at the barcode, check in, and one of them, either Rita or Martha, will say, "Hi, Art, how are you today?" And I'll say, "Great, how are you?" "Fine, thank you." And then I walk in. Now, is there any listening going on there? No, of course not. It's hearing. But, and was there any feeling or empathy? No, not really. So what happened today? So I walked in, Martha and Rita are both there. And Martha said, "Hey, Art, how are you today, as always?" And I said, I stopped and I looked at her and I said, "Martha, I am doing great." And then I noticed something. You know, I looked her in the eye and I noticed something. Martha was not wearing a mask. Rita was wearing a mask. And I said, almost in a like a Larry David, Curb Your Enthusiasm sort of way, I said, "One's wearing a mask, one's not. Just interesting. Just wondering about your feelings on the new mandate. What happened here in Arizona is that the mask mandate was taken off. You know, whatever your feelings on those are, different people obviously different feelings. But I was just kind of curious about them, and both of them took about a minute or two and explained their situation. What I learned about Martha is that she had the two shots already. She also had COVID. I said, "You did? Tell me about that." And then Rita said she hadn't had her second shot yet, and she was concerned about the safety of everybody. She sees hundreds of people per day. And again, what happened there? Just took a second to listen. And I learned about them. Now, that increased my likability. I didn't ask them, but I have to assume so. Here's something else that helps us with our listening. If you ever catch yourself drifting off on a phone call, which we many times do, or we're thinking about what we want to say next, remind yourself of your purpose for listening. A lot of people don't think about this. Your purpose for listening is your why. Why are you listening? And everybody has different whys. In my case, if I catch myself drifting off very quickly, I just shock myself by saying they're saying something that is going to help you help them buy because they feel it's important. You better focus. Now, again, we can think about 10 times more quickly than people can speak. So I'm reminding myself of that anytime I catch myself drifting off, which I do because I have the attention span of a gnat, like many salespeople do. So I have to remind myself of my purpose quite often. All right, some other things here on likability. Well, we've got only a half hour left, but a lot of stuff to cover here. Signaling is simply letting somebody else know that you like them, okay? It's not just coming out and saying, hey, I like you, like we did when we were in, you know, kindergartners. But how about simply dropping these things into a conversation? Hey, I like the way that you said that, or well said, or maybe in an email after a call. Hey, I really enjoyed our conversation today. And again, say it like you mean it, maybe use different terms than what we normally use. Compliment somebody. Hey, I really like the way you set up your LinkedIn profile. And again, be specific. And when you're liking somebody, it's reflected back to us as well. We can connect with commonalities. People tend to like those who are similar to them, right? And again, we're going to talk about more specifics here. And LinkedIn is a huge place to find the commonalities, whether it be interests, whether it be experience, job experiences, whether it be organizations, you know, schools that we attended, because we tend, again, to like people who are similar to us. If we have something in common, it's going to strike a conversation. Take interest in their interest, even if it's not one of your interests. Ask questions about it. You can say, hey, I couldn't help but notice on your profile that you're into skydiving. I've always been afraid to try it. You know, tell me what your first experience was like. Now, what's going to happen there? Now, if somebody had already said that that's one of their interests, that's one of their passions, we ask somebody about their passion, what are they going to do? They're going to tell you all about their passion, right? And if somebody's talking about themselves, what does that do about your likability? Obviously, right? Again, Captain Obvious here, smile. Smile when you're on the phone. It comes through in your voice, and especially on video. And I learned this a long time ago, of course, being a speaker for most of my professional life. I remember one of my first evaluations that actually hurt quite a bit, but it was, I learned a ton from it. And in that evaluation, all they said was, you'd be much more attractive if you smiled more. And I thought, well, okay, yeah, that certainly hit home. So what do I make sure that I do quite often? Yeah, that's right. Doing exactly what I'm doing now, and that is smiling. And there have been numerous studies done where pictures have been shown of people smiling and not smiling, asking about what do you think about that person? And obviously the one where people are smiling has so many more positive attributes. It's not that tough to do. Be humble, give credit where it's due. If you get complimented about the great job that you did or your product or service, give credit to customer service or production or whomever. That makes you more likable in somebody else's mind. All right, so here we go again. I touched the back arrow there. All right, so here we go. Use their name. Again, quoting Dale Carnegie, the sweetest sound that anybody could hear is the sound of their own name. And when you can drop that into a conversation, it's going to cause people to listen more. That's also been proven. And then, of course, also it's going to endear them more towards you. And one thing that I've been doing for a long time is that people that I see quite often just in the course of doing business, like at the grocery store, right? I grocery shop almost every day. I love to cook. I'm not a good planner, so I'm normally at the store every day. I've learned the names of most of the people at the grocery stores that I go to, always call them by name. But again, at the golf course, the people that might not be considered that important by some people, I consider extremely important. The guys who clean the clubs, the bag boys, every one of them, I take interest in them, always use their names. Not everybody does that. Be vulnerable and self-deprecating. That makes you more likable in someone's mind. If you have some faults, make fun of them, all right? Share them. Yesterday in my email, I mentioned how being 60 years old now, my hearing has gone down a notch, okay? Not to the point where I need a hearing aid, but in certain situations where there's a lot of noise going on, I have to strain a little bit more to make out what somebody might be saying. And I had several people just comment. I'd never ever heard before. They'd been subscribers for years, and they said they could relate to that, and they appreciated the fact that I shared that. There's a story of Hillary Clinton way back when she was running for president against Barack Obama in the primaries. And there was a meter, a likability factor meter that was going on in real time based on what they were saying. And the highest point of her likability was when she was asked the question, what is one thing that you don't like about yourself? And, or maybe it was about her policies or something. And I think she said something to the effect of, well, probably my big butt. And at that point, her likability is skyrocketed because, of course, it's probably part of the shock factor. But then it was very self-deprecating, obviously, and probably a lot of people could relate to that. Be grateful. Be grateful. Be thankful. I'm not talking about being not worthy to speak with somebody. I'm not a big believer in at the beginning of a call saying, thank you for taking my call, because I believe that puts you at a different level. I'm suggesting that you're thanking somebody for the opportunity to do business with them. Being grateful for the fact that you're working for a company that has such a great product or service. Again, that makes you more likable in somebody's mind. All right, let's get to trust. This is Stephen Covey's son, Stephen M. R. Covey, and he wrote the book, The Speed of Trust. And he has four principles of trust, and I'm going to be talking about some things that we can do in each of these areas. Integrity, these are the things that people are looking at when they decide whether or not they're going to trust us. And by the way, many things I talk about here, these are not quick fixes. These are not the easy button. These are not things that happen overnight. These are things that we build over time. And I would imagine you're probably just not in sales for, you know, next week. So you're going to be doing this for a long, long time, maybe the rest of your life. And these are things that we build up over time. Hopefully you've already built this up over time. And if you haven't done it to the degree that you want, you're going to starting today, right? So people are looking at your integrity. They're looking at your intent. Are they wondering, are you just trying to sell me something? Or what are your interests? What are your capabilities? Can you actually deliver what you're talking about here? And are you delivering the results? And this comes over time. So let's look at some specifics here. And again, being pretty obvious, but we all know people who say that they're going to do something and they don't. Right? Do you have any friends like that where, you know, you're thinking, oh yeah, that's probably not going to happen if they said they were going to do something? I've got a buddy that I enjoy being with him, but constantly he'll say, hey, you know, we gotta have dinner. Hey, yeah, let's get dinner on the books. And I remember the last time he said that, I said, great. How about next Saturday at 7 o'clock? And he never got back to me. And you know, the thing is there is that he is consistent in his untrustworthiness. So, I mean, that's the perception I have of him. On the other hand, you probably know somebody where if they say, I'm going to send you that information, it's there within the hour. It's not there in, you know, in a week or so, right? And I mean, very simply, do what you say you're going to do. I mean, how hard is that? But yet, that is probably one of the most important factors as it relates to being trusted. Communicating, being in contact with somebody builds your trust. Let's say, for example, that you're probably not going to speak again for a week or two, but some things have to happen in the meantime. By staying in contact, dropping in an email, giving an update as to where you are in the process, is going to build more trust in you and your organization. And again, their perception of you. showing that their interest is more important than a sale. And I mean, so many times I have said to prospects, I'll say to them, look, I could try to sell you this program, but that's not what you need. What you really need is just this. Matter of fact, I had one last week. Somebody called and they said, which one of your programs would be best for this? I forget whatever it was. I asked them a bunch of questions and I said, you know what? You really don't need to buy an entire program. Here's what you need. And I pointed them to one of my free videos. Now, what does that mean? Are they going to buy something from me at some point? Maybe. And if they don't, that's okay too. But you know what? I showed my integrity and I also showed that my main interest was helping them get what they needed, not in me making a sale. I'm going to make a lot of other sales, okay? And that's all great. And of course, I'm in business to make sales. We all are. But what you're going to make many more sales by being interested in what somebody really needs and having their best interest in mind, as opposed to you trying to get a sale. Having testimonials and recommendations and putting that on just about anything that somebody is going to see, when either you proactively send it to them or if they do some searches on their own. That means in your LinkedIn profile, that means sending it to them in emails, putting it in your material, anywhere and everywhere. It's a concept of social proof. Again, I talked about Cialdini's principles, I think, 2 months ago in the training that I did. So, so important. Because people are going to trust, let's face it, somebody else's words about you more than they will yours. Third-party credibility. Now, this is a way of you actually saying how good you are, but putting the words in somebody else's mouth. So, for example, dropping this into a conversation. So one of my other customers, here's what they experienced. Here's the results that they got. And you don't even necessarily need to mention the name of the company or the customer, but you're just simply saying somebody else got these results. And again, that's building credibility and trust as well. Understanding the importance of your first impression. And one of my mentors is Jim Fortin. He's a transformational coach. And he says, how you do anything is how you do everything. And that certainly applies to the methodology you use to get in contact with somebody the first time. If you have to use an evasive tactic to try to get past a screener, that's going to get back to a decision maker. If you're not going to be totally upfront in your opening statement and you're going to use some kind of gimmick by not talking about value or, and I'm not even sure what comes to mind here, but if it reeks even a little bit of being a little bit sleazy, how in the world could somebody trust anything else you're going to say or do moving forward? So again, first impressions are lasting and very difficult to change. And that first impression, again, whether it be proactive, you reaching out, email, LinkedIn, the phone, or either reactive, anything that you have out there on social media, your LinkedIn profile, whatever, people are checking you out. Be a name dropper. So another form of social proof or testimonials, talking about some of the other customers that you have worked with. Also, being fully transparent and talking about what you can't do, what you don't have, what you don't know. People respect that. If you don't have the answer to a question, tell them, I don't know. I'll find out though for you. That is not something that we do. That is not something that we have. And again, don't try to be all things to all people if you're not, okay? Guarantee your work. Some of you don't have any control on this. Some of you are solopreneurs. Very best thing that you can do is take the risk away from somebody else, because now they're going to trust what you say. Be accessible. And I probably don't do this as much as I should because I'm not out there selling as much as I did in the past, simply because I don't need to. I've got people coming to me. But if I were an up-and-coming salesperson, I would have my phone number, my cell number on absolutely everything and invite people to get in contact with me because that shows that I am available. I'm there for them. Take responsibility for everything. And think about this. If everybody took more personal responsibility in this world, it'd be a lot better place, wouldn't it? As opposed to people who place blame, people who are victims. Don't you really appreciate it when somebody says, you know what? I'm going to own this. We screwed up and I'm going to fix it for you. Or even if maybe somebody else screwed up, but saying, you know what? I will personally handle this for you. And again, I can't tell you the number of times where maybe my fulfillment service dropped the ball, didn't send out an order, where I grabbed a book out of my personal stash, hand wrote the label, sent it out to somebody because, again, it's my company. I got to own it. And that's how trust is built. I mean, organizations build trust with you and others cause you to lose their trust. When Amazon says that it's going to be there the next day, or in my case, I'm in Phoenix here, they have like six warehouses, so it can be here within a couple of hours. I mean, I trust them. They have built that up, and I know that I'm going to get what they say. Over-deliver, surprise, and delight somebody. Give more than what people expect. Send something extra. Surprise them with a gift or, again, something that they weren't expecting. And why is this important? Not everybody does this. Always do the right thing. What is the right thing? Well, you know what the right thing is. I mean, always ask yourself, what would grandma tell me in this situation? I had a situation where we were running a sale on some product. And I noticed that an online order came in for the product, but somebody had used an old link. They didn't use the sale link because maybe they didn't receive the email or whatever it was. I immediately called them and said, hey, I've got some good news for you. I said, I'm going to be refunding. I think it was like $100 or something, simply because we're running a sale on this. Now, would that person have known that we were running a sale? Probably not. But you know what? It was the right thing to do. And what did that do in that person's mind? I mean, that person was just absolutely flabbergasted that I did that. And I mean, they were all over me saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that. That is so awesome. We're going to be doing a lot more business with you. Follow up after the sale. How many times have you bought something where somebody worked hard to get the business and then you never heard from them again? You had a hard time getting in contact with them. Now, on the other hand, think about the people that stayed in contact with you. What happened? They built up that trust in your mind because, again, you knew that they were there. All right, getting known, the know, like, and trust part. I'm probably going to run a little bit over here. Apologize, but I really don't need to apologize because you're going to be getting great material. If you need to jump off, I understand that. If you're watching the recording, of course, you can watch it at your leisure. Again, that was pretty obvious. All right, so getting known, the know, like, and trust part. And there's several ways to do this, but a lot of it boils down to what Woody Allen said, allegedly, because I saw different forms of this quote. One is 80% of success is showing up. Another one is 90%. Another one said that Woody Allen didn't actually say that at all. But we're going to go with it. Mostly what's important here is showing up, being familiar. I found this in my research. It's called the mirror exposure effect, psychological phenomenon, where people develop a preference for things merely because they're familiar with them. Think about that. I mean, that's just kind of odd, isn't it? Just because we've seen something before where we're thinking, oh yeah, that's good. And social psychology, it has a name. It's called the familiarity principle. Say that 10 times fast. But the caveat to this is simply showing up without a value message can have the opposite effect because then we're pestering or bothering someone. So everything I'm going to be talking about here is predicated upon tying showing up into providing possible value to the person who is seeing anything about you or your message. So let's talk about how we can do this. There are several ways to do it. I'll go into each of these, having others spread the word for you, doing your own self-promotion, which is out there forever, which I love, doing some stealthy things, which I'll show you, and then doing some very targeted outreach. So let's talk about the first one, having others spread the word here for you. Do you proactively ask for introductions? Of course, LinkedIn has a built-in way to do this. If you're doing this, please, please, please be sure that it's with somebody who already knows, likes, and trusts you. I've had people ask for introductions that I didn't know, asking for introductions that I really didn't even know just because we are connected on LinkedIn. So you can guess how well that went over. Didn't happen, right? But so many people do not do this. Now, here's something else. Anytime somebody says, oh, I know of somebody who could really use your service, instead of just getting their name, get their name, ask why they feel that they would want or need your service, but then take it to the next step and ask for a favor and say, would you mind making the introduction for us? And if they said, if they already volunteered that somebody could use your service, they're happy with your service, they've thrown that out there. Asking for shares. Now, this goes towards your social media or anything that you might have out there. If somebody compliments you on a post or something that you did, if you, again, if you can, ask them to share that with their network. Share it with a friend who could use it. Who do you know who also could benefit from this? And again, this is not being pushy. It is simply being proactive. All right, so let's talk about your evergreen multimedia self-promotion. All this stuff requires some work. Most people aren't going to do all of these. Many will not do any of these, but some of you are going to really embrace this. Maybe you already have, and you probably know people who are doing this all the time. Getting articles written. It's never been easier to be published than it is today. Getting guest posts on blogs or other publications that your decision makers read. Putting out YouTube videos. They don't need to be long videos, but you know, YouTube is the second biggest search engine out there. So if you position yourself as a content expert, in your product or service, this is one way to really get known and build credibility. Showing up on podcast. There are podcasts for, there are probably way more podcasts than there should be. I mean, there are many that, you know, are just, you know, people making noise, but there are probably some that are highly regarded in your industry. If you've got a story to tell, approach a podcast host and please, please, please do your research. Let them know. I mean, treat it like a sales call because it is. Show them how you can provide value to their audience and then ask if it would be worthwhile to have a conversation to kick around some ideas and have some very specific ideas about appearing on that podcast. But I can tell you that from getting probably five pitches a week from people who do not do that. Your own social media is a way of getting known. And again, today, people are checking you out. Stealthy actions, again, on social media, following people on social media. That's one way of having your name show up. Commenting on other people's posts and on, you know, their articles, whatever that might be. Tagging somebody on what you post on social media and maybe asking for someone's comment. Now, be careful about this, particularly with, let's say, well-known names out there. And I guess I'll put myself in that category as it relates to sales, because so often somebody will tag me in something asking for a comment. I mean, in many cases, I don't know who they are. They want to show up in my feed and they want me to comment. And yeah, in many cases, I will do it. Again, I'm trying to practice this more, like ability factor, right? But again, be careful with doing that. But again, it is certainly one way of getting your name known. I mean, I had one guy that wanted to do business with me. He did all of these things. His name kept showing up. I got curious. I looked at his profile. He got back to me and said, hey, I see you noticed my profile. Let's connect here. I might have some ideas that might be of some value to you. And I thought, yeah, okay. And we did wind up having a conversation. All right, so targeted outreach. I mean, obviously, these are the things that most people are doing all the time. I would, again, implore you to make sure that you're having value every time that you do this. Showing up in these areas without having value could be just bothering somebody, and in many cases is. You're just contributing to the noise here, okay? All right, so now we're going to take the last few minutes here and talk about really appealing to somebody at the highest level. And I'm going to lump all of these together here, even though I could take more time and really dive into each one. Again, if I put this into book form, I likely will, but we're going to appeal to identity. What is identity? Identity is the way someone views themselves. What somebody values, what is really most important to someone, to someone's vision. Where do they really see themselves going? Their self-perception. Again, similar to identity. What do they see themselves as? And when you're appealing to any and all of these things, and when you're talking about them, again, this is how somebody views themselves. And when we're touching at that level, that is what many people or most people do not do. First, ask yourself a question. Whenever you're going to be looking at somebody else and how they identify themselves, think about, how do you view or define yourself? And we can do this in many different areas and roles that we play in life. For example, I view myself as a very good cook. Okay, I have worked at this for years. Matter of fact, I do competition barbecue. I'm doing one in California next month, and I do pretty well. And many people say that, oh, you should open up a restaurant. So I really view myself as that good cook. Now, if somebody said to me, your food sucks, how do you think I would feel? Well, of course, I would be offended by that, because they're really talking about myself. Perception. We view and define ourselves in professional and business ways as well. I view myself in business as somebody who operates with honesty and integrity. As I mentioned before, it's much more important to me that I am viewed as somebody who has integrity as opposed to somebody who's just trying to get a sale. And I've had some haters in the past who have, you know, you're always going to have haters because, you know, it's been said that if you're not pissing somebody off, you're probably not putting yourself out there enough. But I've had people say, oh, you just said that because you want to make a sale. When in fact, that was the furthest thing from the truth. But it did affect me, as much as we shouldn't let some of those things affect us from haters, right? So how do you view or define yourself? What is really important to you in life, in business? And really, what's good here is that in order to understand people, it's good for us to understand ourselves. Not to get too woo-woo on you here. All right. So what can we do in order to understand and appeal to other people? And again, a lot of this ties into what we already talked about, because a lot of these things are affecting our likability, our trustworthiness, you know, being known. And being proactive in really seeking out, how do people define themselves? So look at somebody's LinkedIn profile. And actually, I went back up here, back way up. Anything and anywhere where they say these things about themselves. I'm passionate about. I specialize in, or we specialize in, because it can be the way they and their company identify themselves. My skills include, I live for doing this. I'm, anytime they talk in first person, I'm a person who, I'm a leader who. Again, they're telling you this is what's really important to me and the way I do business, the way I live my life. And again, a lot of that stuff is going to be in LinkedIn. Pay special attention to these things. Okay, there's such a wealth of information. And why LinkedIn or why any of their social media? Because it's things they're telling you about themselves, their activity, their comments, their posts. That's all listed out for you there in LinkedIn. What are they saying about other things? That's going to give you an idea about their values. They might feel that, you know, cutting costs or leading their people, or, you know, again, whatever it might be, that is what they value. That's what's important to them because, again, they cared enough about it to post or comment on it. Look at their experience. You might have some commonalities there. Maybe you work for a same company. Maybe you sold to the same company. Maybe you can comment on, again, their experience and tie it into what you're selling. Quick personal note here. I checked out somebody's profile, of course, before I contacted them. And it was actually somebody that inquired to me about training. They were a training director at a big company. And I noticed that the person had had several roles as a director of training in several companies. But then what I also looked at was in their experience, they had listed stand-up comedy and improvisational comedy. And where I tied this in was in the conversation, I asked, so what's really most important to you in the training that is delivered for your people? And then she listed out, well, we want to make sure that it has this, and, you know, talks about that. And I said, well, you know, one other thing, I would imagine, given your background as a performer, you probably would find it important that we're able to engage the audience and keep them entertained while also deliver content. Would you agree? And at that point, she really opened up and said, well, yeah, you know, what's interesting about that is, and she really went into detail. And had I not looked at her profile, I wouldn't have been able to make that connection. Education, of course, it's going to tell us a lot about, you know, what their background is. Maybe it's not even related to what they're doing right now. You could ask about that. Maybe you have a commonality there. Skills and endorsements. Of course, if they're telling you what their skills are, that's going to be valuable to you. And if other people are endorsing them for certain skills, now, if we can validate that, what somebody else said about them, you're now touching at a higher level as well. Accomplishments. If people have listed their accomplishments, obviously that's like having the trophy up on the shelf or the plaque up on the wall. And if you're commenting on that, again, appropriately, just because you have the information doesn't necessarily mean that we need to use it. And then interests. And again, when we can connect at an interest level, that may even transcend the business level. And I just looked at somebody who just connected with me or asked for a connection today on LinkedIn. I just, to look at her accomplishments here, well, she has International Wine Society. So I'm kind of curious about that. So if we speak, I might ask about that. I have certainly a casual interest in wine. And then I'm looking at her other interests that she's mentioned there. So apparently she's interested in football, follows the 49ers. But also Tim Tebow, which she may be interested in for different reasons. One might be football, but it might also be the fact that Tim Tebow is a guy of very high integrity. Tim Tebow is also a broadcaster, also attempted baseball. I admire the guy a lot. Interested in Mark Cuban. Maybe she's a fan of Shark Tank. I might ask about that as well. So again, a wealth of information there for you. And they've listed it out. What are some other things that we can do here? Stalk them. Yes, I said it. Stalk them on Facebook, Instagram, Google, wherever you can find them. Actually, you should probably look at Google first because that may lead you in a lot of different directions. And, you know, maybe years ago, people might frown on going to somebody's Facebook or Instagram page. But again, if somebody puts it out there, it's in the public domain. I mean, we know people who don't use any of these things because they don't want their information out there. But we also know people who put everything out there. And again, just because you have it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to use it. But you might see that on their Facebook profile picture or their banner, they've got, you know, their 10 cats. So they're a cat person. So if somebody's into animals, many times there's something there that is going to transcend business. We're connecting again. That's what they value at a higher level. Other things that we can do, we should and need to be asking questions to find out about, again, what does somebody value? What's important to them? Very simply, again, so what's most important to you about? And get out of the way. Let them answer. And by the way, with all of these questions, listen, lean in, and then find out the why behind what they just told you. Why did they just say what they did? So what's going to be considered most in making this decision? We're getting them to really list out their priorities. I love this one. What's non-negotiable for you in this purchase? So what are they doing there? We're jumping their value, their most important value, to the top of the list here. What do you place the most value in as it relates to this? And again, a lot of these are different variations of similar questions. You may be able to, of course, take some of these, come up with your own. Here's a vision-related question. So where do you see yourself or your department in the next year, the next coming years? Where do you see yourself after the pandemic fully is behind us? Okay. What are the major or main objectives for this purchase, this project, for your department? What challenges are most important for you to overcome as it relates to? And again, why? Oh, some of the two greatest questions of all time. Listen for these trigger phrases. What we really need the most is, and in some cases, people may volunteer this. And I got to tell you, it amazes me when I'll be listening to calls, either if I'm doing it live, I'm not sitting with people anymore, obviously during the past year or so, but when I did, and I was listening to calls side by side, there were so many times when somebody would hear things like this and they would just fly right over their head. And I'd be thinking, wait a minute, they just said something so important to you and you didn't pick up on it. So listen for and react to these things. Certainly take notes on them. If you don't want to interrupt, you can come back to it. What I really love is, somebody use the word love in any context, pay attention to whatever they say after that. The main thing we're looking for is something we don't compromise on is. I or we never. Here's what we're doing. We're looking for absolutes. What are the non-negotiables again in their life? What are their main values here? So likewise, something that they always do is extremely important to them. Again, anytime they use first person, I am a person who. So again, similar to what we might see on their social media, anytime you hear this in a conversation, highlight it, take notes on this. And again, all this gets back to what I said right at the beginning of the program. Have this mindset of being extremely interested in the other person, what they're saying, and let that, of course, affect the intensity of your listening here. We are a company that. We are a department that. Okay, so again, they're defining themselves for you. That was a duplicate slide. Okay. So how do we use these things? All right. So let's talk about the call itself, how we're going to plug these things in. All right. So we're almost done here. Probably got about another 5 minutes or so. So in your initial outreach, whether this be an email or a voicemail, or if you get them on the phone live, and if you think about the smart calling process, this is the connection part of the call. Step one, identify yourself and organization. Step two is the connection. Hey, Mike, Art Subcheck here with Business by Phone. hey, I noticed that your company has a 2021 initiative to reach out for more new business. Okay. So how do I know that? Well, of course, I did my research. Maybe I did some social engineering, but I know that that is an initiative for them. That's very important to them. That is one of their values. That is something that they're working on. So immediately I have connected with something that is important to them. Also, in our questioning, as I've just listed a bunch of questions here for you, ask those questions to find out what they're interested in, what they value, how they define themselves, but then also very importantly, why they do. Because when you understand the why, now we're going to be able to go to that deeper level and we're going to be able to present it back to them. Speaking of which, when we get to the recommendation phase of the call, some people call it presentation, I call it recommendation. So you had mentioned earlier that this is most important to you. So here's how we excel in that area. Or you can touch on their identity. Well, as someone who really values the importance of this next point is going to be especially relevant for you. So now what we've done is we validated their self-perception. We placed them in the box. And of course, they're not going to be able to argue with how they define themselves. And then what we're doing is we're just saying, because of this, this of course has to be congruent with who you are. Little ninja psychological tactic there. We can use it in the commitment or closing phase. Excuse me. So since we've agreed that we're going to deliver exactly what you said you're looking for in your three top criteria, is it safe to say that we can move forward and get started on this? Now, again, consistency, people already told you what is most important to them. You've told them how you're going to deliver on those areas. And then maybe you even ask trial closing questions. Is that something that will work for you? Do you feel you could use that? I'm going to wrap it all up with, since we've agreed, now, again, if we did our job, we were on target, what's the answer going to be? Probably yes. Also, speaking of being a little bit different, sending things that are appealing to them, their interests, their values, their self-perception. And here, I would strongly suggest that you get these books from my buddy Stu Hynek. I've talked about these things before, how to get a meeting with anyone, get the meeting. And Stu's a big believer in sending stuff out in order to be known, in order to be different, and in order to add value before a conversation and after a conversation. This could be a gift, could be something unusual. Stu had sent me up on my wall here. I can't actually move the camera because it's on my computer. But Stu sent me a life-size cartoon. He's also a cartoonist for the Wall Street Journal. He sent me a Wall Street Journal-looking cartoon that says this would look good in Art Subcheck's office. That was his introduction to me before we had our first conversation because he wanted to interview me for his book. And of course, that definitely got my attention. So I've had people send me cookbooks before, because they knew I was interested in that. I've had people send me other things related to baseball, knowing I'm a big baseball fan. So those are just, people being aware of how someone identifies themselves and what they're interested in and appealing to that. We've talked about this before, using compliments as it relates to likability. And this is also appealing to someone's, again, self-perception and their identity. So if you can validate them, you're going to be more likable, but of course, you're also going to be building up your credibility. That's just the way it works in their mind. So again, I admire how you do this. I admire your ability to do this. Hey, congratulations on winning that award. You are a, okay? You're talking about them as a person. If somebody views themselves as being, again, I mentioned before that I I believe that I run my business with integrity. If somebody says to me, or when they do say to me, you know, I can always count on you to deliver on what you promise. Of course, that's going to make me feel better. And we tend to do business with people that we know, like, and trust and make us feel good, right? So when I think of this, I always think of you. You're the best. Again, a lot of this is just good common sense, but again, not always used. All right. So here's the most important part of this entire program. What are you going to do to begin or continue implementing these ideas, these methods, these techniques? And here's what I'm interested in, whether you're viewing this live or on the recording at whatever point. I want to hear from you. I am interested in what you have to say. I value your opinion. And right there was an example of one of the techniques I used, right? I value your opinion, and I'm kind of curious if you got value out of this, where you got value in this, if this is something I should expand on, if you think there's a more of a market for this, if this is something you'd like to see more of. I believe that it is extremely valuable. I'm going to be doing more of this myself. So, all right, do please get back with me. Give me your ideas, okay? All right, so again, Thank you for staying here the entire time, and go out and continue to make it your best sales day, your best sales month ever. I'm Art Subject.